All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the steering committee. Ryan and I are here.
We're outside today.
We're outside. It's a gorgeous day here in Denver.
Yeah, this is why I moved to Denver. It's 60 degrees and sunny, and it's, January the 16th? I mean,
that's
this
right.
is...
It is one of the benefits of living here in Colorado. So it's like I guess the secret's out because everyone's moved here. So but there was a while where it's like, let's try and keep it on the down low, how nice it is here in the winter. Yeah, but secret's out, I think, officially. Yeah. We're like one of the fastest growing
You're in a
cities.
T-shirt. Well, gun show over there today.
It's for the ladies.
I'm covered up, if that tells you anything. You
know? Well, I'm from New England, so I have a certain reputation
We've got guests.
We do. We have some guests today. We're gonna bring them in here in just a sec. Two friends of mine, Harry and Doyle. We brought them on today to talk about some really cool cars that they've been working on and that they've fixed up and that they've prepared. We're going to get to that in just a sec. But we are being
they're not
hosted.
European.
They're not European. No, we're going to talk about some Jeeps and some Studebakers today and a couple other interesting cars, I think, too. So, thanks, Harry, for hosting us today.
My pleasure.
We're in Harry's lovely new backyard.
Yeah, this is I'm a little jealous of this backyard, I'll be honest. We're on a fire pit here. It's beautiful.
Well, what's nice
thank
is
you guys that, for coming.
We're able to be outside, so we can all be safely apart, but still actually be in the same place together. We've been we always prefer to do this face to face as opposed to over. We do have the ability to do this remotely, but this is better.
It's never the same. So, I've been hearing about at least the Jeep for a while now.
Let's start with.
So think like Icon Bronco, but Jeep Grand Wagoneer.
Yeah, that was actually. A lot of what I sort of base some of the creative direction off of. So I actually have a cousin who has an Icon Bronco. So I have had the opportunity to drive it a couple times and to cruise around with him. And so when the opportunity came up to do the Jeep, that was where I pulled a lot of stuff from. So actually I bought actually some of the pieces from them too. So I bought their visors
have,
which are pulled, they're sort of inspired by airplane like Cessna visors, so they're not fully opaque, they're actually just more tinting. So I actually emailed with him a couple of times while I was kind of going through the process.
Okay.
So they were actually
the Icon guy, what's his name, Jonathan Ward.
And then his head, I forget what the guy's exact title is, but his head of products or one of the guys who works there. Mm-hmm. We had a correspondence going for a little while, so I actually asked him a bunch of questions and he was helpful. But nice. That was definitely a place where I pulled a lot of inspiration from.
What's an Icon Bronco go for these days?
I can tell you.
Well into the six figures, right?
Well into the six figures. What I can tell you is that one of them came up. A person had bought one, liked it so much that he was afraid to drive it, sold it back to Jonathan Ward.
I can appreciate that. Sorry.
Sold it back to Jonathan Ward, and my cousin had reached out to them to say, hey, I'm interested. And they said, you're never going to believe, but, you know, believe this, but we got one back. Would you be interested? They changed some of the specs for him, so they adjusted a few things to kind of make it his. But the crazy thing is that they have yet to sell a car that has depreciated in value.
Yeah, I believe
so. My cousin was kind of on the fence as he tells the story that, you know, it's a lot of money, should I do it? And Jonathan Ward's sort of selling point was, well, you know, it's not going to lose value.
That's
so
for sure.
It's a smart investment.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I mean, honestly, I think this is 99% as cool as an Icon Bronco.
And
I actually prefer Jeeps anyway. So this is a very cool. So you started, it was an 81.
81.
Yeah, Grand Wagoneer, right?
Yeah.
You got that right? What's the story? You said you found it out in a field up northern Colorado.
So basically, we go up every year. So Doyle obviously has done a number of vehicles. Mm-hmm. And you know,
and we'll get to Doyle because he's got his stories too.
He's got a great car history.
And one year we were up at, for Joel's birthday, we went up to Grand Lake a lot of years. And so
beautiful,
one year I had mentioned that, hey, I'd be really interested in doing a project when you break free. And I think he was like in the throes of doing a Studebaker. So a year later, we were actually back up in Grand Lake. And he said, I think, you know, it'd be fun to do a Jeep. And we talked about the Wagoneer. We talked about some other stuff too. But that was one of the ones that sort of popped up as a sort of a leading candidate. So I thought, well, it'll take several months to find one. And just started looking on Craigslist, looking anywhere I could. And we, like a day later, I found one up in Fort Collins.
That
meant to be.
Always happens to me.
So we should explain.
I'm going to look for a while.
Well, Doyle, you are not Harry's uncle, but you are Harry's wife's uncle. Did I get that right? Okay. All right. That's your connection. Right. So
So I contacted the guy and said, hey, I'll be out there later today. Drove, left work, picked up Doyle. We went up to Fort Collins and we took a look at it and decided it was a good fit for what we wanted to do. So I think it took 3 days instead of 6 months, but you know, it was a great find. And the thing was, the guy had three other Jeeps that he was doing work on, he said, "My wife's telling me I got to sell one of these." So he, you know, I think
it wasn't David Tracy from Jalopnik, was it? Did you follow him?
There's a guy on one of the sites we read a lot that
I know Jalopnik. Yeah.
He's got. I mean, he had to be told. I think he had to cull his herd a little bit.
Yeah, I think the city got involved. You know,
he had like six inoperable vehicles.
But he was getting into like rusty postal Jeeps. I mean, that's hardly a Jeep, right? I mean, so you grew up with Jeeps.
I just grew up with American cars, but I always liked Jeeps. Okay. We talked about a couple of different models. We had talked about International Scouts, or we had talked about, you know, Broncos. We had talked about some other things, but Jeep was really what I think Doyle expressed some interest in and what I was also super interested in. Yeah. So I think it was just a good sort of combination of both of us having a high level of interest.
Yeah,
I've built cars before, and that when you're finished with them, they're still not a comfortable, nice car. You know, you can do everything in the world, but you can't make a crappy car a comfortable car.
That's a great point.
And Jeeps are. Yeah. The Jeep Wagoneer is.
Yeah. It starts off, I mean, it starts off as a comfortable car.
Yeah, comfortable car.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it takes a ton of, I mean, if you want to try and chase that goal, it takes a ton of time, ton of money to make a very utilitarian or uncomfortable car drive like the way you want it to, the way you envision it driving it. So, yeah, I've heard that.
That's
so,
for sure.
And I would say one of my biggest criteria was, you know, we've got a family of four, so I wanted something I could easily put four people in versus someone with two doors where you're having kids crawling over the seats and trying to do kids, you know, child seats and all that kind of stuff. So I really loved the idea of something that was full size, that was just easy. You can go tailgating with it. You can do anything. Yeah. Like, you can take it up in the mountains, whatever it is. So it was just very versatile. It
makes so much more sense, right, than getting like a classic, you know, Cadillac or something, right, that you've got a baby or a Porsche or Ferrari or whatever, you know. Scratches your itch. I mean, it's just, you don't want something too precious, right? And so this is the perfect sort of thing. And for Colorado, you know? I mean,
there's that too. But exactly. I mean, and not to mention too, I feel like sometimes when you have like an older car, or like you have an old classic car or something, like, you know, like a, no offense, but a Porsche or any of the cars that also I like too, there can be a reputation associated with that. But when you fix up an old 4x4, everyone loves that.
You're not a jerk in anyone's eye.
It's a crowd pleaser.
It's just like, it's a fun car. I mean, whether if it's an old pickup truck or an old 4x4, it's like everyone loves it. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So I think there's that too. So
you found this 81, and it was pretty rough. You said when you got it, it was not a lot of rust or anything, but it was sun faded. It was solid, but
it was covered in primer.
We had issues on the test drive. We only drove it a half a mile, but we had issues on the test drive.
It stalled out in the middle of the street as we were turning and with traffic oncoming. But the guy who owned it previously was a mechanic, and so he said, "Look, you know, there's a carburetor issue for sure, and some things you'll want to take a look at." But you know, it had under 100,000 miles. It had 98,000.
Not bad for an 81.
Not bad at all. Doyle dug under the hood a little bit, and we just still decided it was worth it. I mean, he had priced it to sell. I think it was a really good competitive price based on the 3 days of research that I had done.
Well, and they're not growing on trees either, these things, right?
That's true.
So find a good one. You want to probably...
Some get used real hard. Yeah. The farmers and the mountain guides and stuff that use them for a lot of years real hard.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Yeah.
I've seen some later ones, some like 87 or 89, ones with like the, you know, the fake wood, you know, paneling on it, that look much worse than that one does.
I know they're
a lot younger. So
what's the place? So. Wagon Masters out of Dallas, I think it is. But and I love what they do, but those are almost icon level pricing anymore, aren't they? They're
80 grand.
They're 80 to some are over 100. I mean, at the lowest I think I've seen is maybe 70 on there.
Really?
So they're not cheap. And I mean, they do an amazing job, but most of their projects that were Sorum looking like they came off the factory line. Yeah. And I thought what was cool was, you know, part of my vision, and I think part of a lot of what Doyle's input was incredible around, was finding ways to stay true to the Jeep, but also do it in fun ways to make it feel more modern. Mm-hmm. So mine is definitely not a, you know, true Wagon Master style Jeep. It's a real combination of some more modern touches and fun things that we did and decisions that we can make versus hunting down, you know, the right wood paneling or, you know, whatever it may be.
Mm. And so to look at it now, it's in sort of an olive drab or dark green, you'd call it, or what is that color?
It is matte Matte, metallic pine green.
Okay. Yeah, pine. Sounds like a Porsche color.
It does sound like a paint a sample color.
They got about 27 different greens.
Yeah. Metallic forest green.
Yeah. Matte metallic pine.
Pine green. Pine green. Okay. Green. Okay.
Very important distinction there. Yeah. Matte was one of my only qualification for color. Okay. I wanted a matte finish. That I felt really strongly about. My cousin's is a concrete gray Ford Bronco. I think it's a 68 or 69. And so Matt was taking the universe, which is huge, and narrowed it down to about 10 different colors that we could look at. I looked at an olive drab, but Doyle's input was absolutely not. We're not doing that color, which
a little too military.
And the metallic even changed the pine from being a drabber color to make it sparkle, but to show. Show
is
green.
That's not an original Jeep color or anything. Yeah. I mean, that's just something you liked. Yeah, I mean, because it really suits it. It looks like, you know, it could have come from the factory. I mean, it just looks right, you know? It just looks right.
I mean, the brand feels very green to me. You know, like, that feels very traditional. But that was one of the things I really appreciated with Dill, having gone through this process with several cars. He put his foot down about the drab and said, we're not doing that. Yeah. Look somewhere else.
I like this guy,
You might get too much army look to it.
Yes.
And if you go to several other greens, it's Forest Service.
Yes.
Because Forest Service used two or three greens.
That's right.
And it looks like a retired Forest Service Jeep.
Yeah.
Okay. So you couldn't use that either.
Right.
Our choices got pretty small pretty fast. Sure. And so this was the one that there was a, you know, I had a little hesitation, I think, because of the metallic piece, but it's hard to tell from a sample that's this big, like a tile size, and then expand that into what your car going to look like. But I'm really, really glad we did that color, and they did an amazing job. It's actually it's a wrap.
Oh, no kidding.
So,
okay.
So
you can change
it. Wraps is the name of the company.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't even
It's just primer under. That.
No
just
kidding.
Primer coat under and then wrap on it.
And it's an 81, but they made the Grand Wagoneer from what, the late 60s, the mid 60s, up through 90, 92?
Yeah, early 90s. Okay. They changed them every couple of years. So this one ran, I believe, 81 through 83 was this exact model. And when it came out, you know, it was really seen as a sort of combination of being rugged, but also being more of a luxury vehicle that was family friendly. So it kind of fit all the criteria, you know. It was something that checked a lot of boxes in terms of being really versatile. It's got, you know, four-wheel drive, it's big enough, but it's also rugged enough, and it's fun. You know, it's fun to drive, and it's incredibly smooth. Doug got a chance to take it first.
Oh, no kidding.
I did. I came over a little bit early.
Oh, that's cool.
Last week, I guess, and took it for a quick spin, and it's, I mean, that's one of the things that it's, when people think about, anyone that knows anything about the Wagoneer, what they know about it is that, they introduced this product, which was very novel at the time, and I was kind of double-checking all this. It really is it was the cast set for what SUVs would become, basically. Yeah. And it was much earlier than all the, you know, what would be traditional competitors to it. But it was four doors, which was big. It was, you know, it was four-wheel drive. It was tough, so it could go off-road, but it was relatively comfortable to still drive on the road, like, had a smoother drive compared to anything else at the time.
Yeah,
so.
Comfort and style, you can tell when you look at the advertisements out of the magazines. When they were selling that Wagoneer, there's always a lady stepping into it.
Yeah. Interesting.
It
was okay.
You could have this cool thing. Yeah. Your wife will love it.
Yeah.
Well, and because what I wanted to do is, because I think, is it 62 or 63, I think, was the first year of it, I believe. And I was looking to see what was also offered at that time. And so the Land Cruiser was still at that point the utilitarian Jeep version, if anything. You know, the later four-door ones didn't come until much later. The International Travelall, I think, was a model that was available back then. But that
pretty
was
agricultural, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was basically just a truck that had seats in it, but it wasn't. Well, it was even rare to find one in four-wheel drive.
Well, I think they had like power takeoffs on those. I mean, they were really designed right for like a farm or something. Right.
And then the Suburban was one of the other ones, which again was basically just a rear-wheel drive truck that could carry more people in it. But it wasn't. No one had kind of made that exact combination up. And you know, I think the fact that they produced it from 62 to 63 to like 91, I mean, they obviously hit on something and really kind of created a whole segment. I mean, the Range Rovers came later, the later Land Cruisers got more luxurious. I think they all followed this lead later on.
And they're bringing it back. You know, they announced it, obviously, which is super cool. But you see so much of sort of the DNA, to your point, of modern cars in that model. Yeah. And the first time, you know, once we got it all fixed up and, you know, took it out on the road and stuff, like, it just sort of makes sense, you know, it just sort of fits, and you sort of take for granted like where a lot of these cars came from, and it's really a lot to do with the Jeep Wagoneer.
It does. And that was like the star of it. I mean, the fact that it even has that you could shift it into four.
All right, well, that was my next question. There were no locking hubs, right? Yeah. I mean, you could all do it from inside, right?
It was one of the first cars to offer that.
Right,
you could do it right inside.
Which is amazing.
To get out. Like, again, when your wife is driving it, apparently, that she's on the out of her shoes, she can just do it right from inside.
Right.
So,
and that's an original Colorado truck, do you know, or?
I know the guy.
I don't remember if I ever knew that.
I'm not sure. The guy, I know that there was one previous owner before the guy that I bought it from had it, and it basically sat around after I don't know how many miles, you know, something like 70,000 miles. It just was sitting for like a decade.
Wow.
That's the kind of the story that I was told, at least. And so I'm not sure if that owner was local or not, but I would have to assume so.
Well, the condition, yeah.
I mean,
it's people come from all over to buy, you know, old cars in Colorado, right? I mean, you did say it was a little sun faded, right? It had originally had a brown interior, faded to a nice orange, you said?
Yeah.
A nice bright orange.
Because when you guys are describing it being bright orange, I assume that meant it was someone who put that in later, but you're just saying it had been sun faded to bright orange from brown. Yeah.
The seats were actually in really good shape. It just, they were hideous.
Okay.
So it was like this weird brown leather with the sun faded orange shag everywhere.
The insets of the centers of the seats, the fabric, it also turned bright orange.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So it was really appalling to look at the inside. But you know, that was obviously something that, you know, I wanted to kind of do in our own way and make it fun. So I didn't really, I didn't care. I mean, it was nice to be able to use the seats and just kind of get them refurbished. But
like the springs and the metal part was all good. It just
everything was good.
Yeah, you just had to reskin them. Yeah.
So
add them or whatever.
Exactly. So that was like, okay, fine. Who cares? You know, it's orange. We'll make it whatever color we want to make it.
Yeah. And you made it really nice. So you've got sort of a plaidish. Describe it. Tell me earlier. It's
So that's another detail I stole from the Icon guy. Mm. So they use Chilwich, which is great material. It's incredibly durable. Mm. We actually have like our floor mats when you come into our house are made for Chilwich. They use it for placemats. Okay. They use it for anything you can imagine. So I just basically contacted them, said, hey, can I buy in bulk? Which they were happy to do. They have they sell a lot of their stuff, not just through, you know, retailers, but they sell a lot of bulk rolls as well. So we took that and used it for a lot of details. So when Doyle built the door panels, he did a Chilwich kind of inset.
Yeah.
We used it for the inset and the seats. And Doyle's wife, Jill's aunt, my wife's aunt, actually for my birthday last year, made me floor mats with that Chilwich material. So it's a really nice sort of like tie through throughout the car. It feels unique, but it's like if a kid, you know, spills ice cream or someone the dog throws up or whatever, it's like no problem. You just hose it off and go on with your day. So that was another thing that was like everything we did was sort of like, can we make this family friendly? Because I don't want to be freaking out if someone, you know, drops something in the car.
We both know that feeling.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And explain a little bit about why. I mean, so it's good because it's completely like waterproof, weatherproof. It's really tough I have to say, I mean, I think the color is a really nice choice.
It looks great.
I think it looks great.
It looks appropriate. So, it looks like it could have come that way with sort of that plaid pattern.
So it's got hints of sort of gray in it, and then we lined everything else with gray. So, you know, we wanted to pick something more neutral that would play well with the green, the matte green finish. And it's kind of easy, you know, to find things, you know, in original colors is a little bit of a pain. Yeah. And so doing it in gray, you know, if we just wanted to find a pretty similar gray, whether it was painting the dash, which Doyle did, or finding seat belts or doing whatever, it was just a lot easier.
Yeah.
So it made life a little bit easier throughout this whole process.
And mechanically, I know you've done some things to it too. Actually, go back to the interior, because I looked in, it looked basically all original. The radio, the dashboard, but there's more to that story.
Tell them about the radio.
Radio's
neat.
The radio, a coworker of mine has done some old Jeeps, and he turned me on to a company called Retro Sound that makes all different models of radios with all the modern things you want. So it's Bluetooth, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it just fits the specs of whatever model you need. So it's the exact same style. Dials are in the same place. Buttons are in the right, you know, place. But it's a modern radio, so
yeah.
The old one was totally junked. So it was nice to be able to just plug something in where we didn't have to go back and try to retrofit something in a giant pain. Well, just popped right in.
We've talked about this before. How many, like, I'm going to call them like new timers or sort of recent modern classics or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
The Germans have a word for it. Is it new timers? I don't know. But, you know, stuff that's not really old, but kind of old. And the first thing, so, you know, people do is rip out the stereo and put a, you know, this thing with lights, and it just takes you out of it, right?
Exactly.
And it's the worst. And it's...
And that's what we did with the Dash, too. So some of the original gauges...
Young timers.
Don't worry. No,
it's going to drive me nuts.
I believe Phoenix Tuning is the name of the company, but I found someone who makes, you know, all the right size gauges that slide right in, but they're digital gauges and they light up. So it's a little easier to read. They're a little more accurate, you know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't, you look at it, you have no idea until you actually turn the car on and you look at it.
Tell them about your rear camera.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Rear camera in that.
We put a reverse.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, you can't really see it, but there's actually a tiny hole about the size of maybe a dime in the back bumper. So I wanted – it's a big car. It's a big car. So coming down the driveway and you want to look for traffic you know, parallel parking or something, we actually got one installed that feeds into the rear-view mirror.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
I thought that was the stupidest thing when it was – I think because it was regulated, right?
Yeah.
Like it was – the government said you had to have this, so I didn't want – But I think it's I use it all the I rely on it all the time. I don't know how I ever lived without a rear camera, and especially in a larger car like that.
Yeah, it's super nice.
In your driveway in particular, you're up a little bit high, and it's, your driveway comes up as a hill. So you'd be like, there could be a kid, there could be like a 14-year-old kid back there that you wouldn't see until you get down the bumper, and then you're running over him. So
totally, and it was actually honestly amazing because they're so popular now.
Yeah,
I had a guy help me install it, and it took a couple hours, and it was pretty. I went on Amazon, in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was really not a big headache, but it's a nice detail.
And it's in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
In all these modern...
Half the mirror, correct?
It takes up, about a third or half.
Yeah. So so when you're backing up, you still get to look at your mirror.
That's great.
Right, you still have to see the screen.
Is it mirror the rest of the time, or is it
screen? Mirror the rest of the time.
Huh, that's
so it's mirror when not in reverse, and then half screen and half
As soon
mirror.
As you pop it into, into that gear to reverse, it just flickers on.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's nice. It's just one of those things, again, where it's like... A little bit of a nice modern touch to have some of the sort of things that we're a little more accustomed to these days.
Yeah. And mechanically, the engine it's the original engine. It's
original
the inline six.
No, it's a V8.
It's a V8. Yeah. Okay.
It's a Chrysler.
A Chrysler. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
A Mopar. And I don't even know the size of it.
Yeah.
I never did really look it up to see what it was.
Yeah.
We almost it was in decent shape and didn't really need much.
It sounds really nice, and
it does.
It had some carburetor issues.
Yeah.
Which I didn't mess with. There are people that know those better than I do.
Isn't that the truth, right?
Yeah.
There are only certain people that
you have
can touch
to know
it.
What
yes,
you
yeah.
Know.
Yeah.
And carburetors are they're like a dark art.
Yeah,
basically.
And I feel like they can name their price.
Yeah.
You know,
it's. Do you have do you have a good guy to work on that?
I had a guy that his name is Charlie. He owns a company called G Performance, and my coworker, the one who put me onto the retro sound and other stuff, had used him for his vintage Jeep. So he said, "If you have any issues," so when we first got it, actually. Because of the carburetor issue, I actually had it towed directly to his place. He fixed it up, did the carburetor tweak he needed to do, and, got it back on the road. So I just went immediately to him. And, there's really been no issues with the engine. Past emissions,
You had to take it to emissions.
So, actually, the previous owner had taken it to emissions.
Okay.
And I just got it registered, I think, Monday or Tuesday. And I had previously gone to the emissions place just to confirm, is this test still good? Are we okay? And the guy said, you don't need to be here, buddy. You can leave. So I didn't have any headaches.
And we should, for people who are listening, we're recording in Denver. And
so
most of the counties in Colorado, you don't have to have emissions testing. But I think it's the Front Range. I think Fort Collins down to Colorado Springs. You got to take them to this dumpy state-run place or whatever.
And,
they disrespectfully step into your car and start poking around. I hate it. but what's the cutoff? Is it 20? No, wait. What would the
so you if your car is more than 36 years old, you qualify for classic, collector's plates.
Okay.
The only problem is I went to the DMV and I said, I'd like to get the collector's plates, and the manufacturer of those plates has been shut down due to COVID.
Oh, jeez.
So
the prison?
Yeah.
That's just what I assumed.
I would have had to. been able to have the luxury of waiting 5 years, you know, to go back to the DMV. Yeah. But she said, I've had people now coming back 3-4 times with temporary plates. And she said, you don't want a headache. Yeah. Do this for a year, come back in a year, and then get the collector's plate. So unfortunately, I don't have collector's plates on it. But,
the DMV situation is no good right now. No bueno. I just ordered my second set of temporary tags. The ones that are on there now, I drove around all day. They've been expired for 40 days, but apparently we're not the only ones that are dealing with this, because I've seen some plates that expired in April, March, and so it seems to be that they're not pulling those people over. But what a pain. So, but having a 5-year plate, you won't have to do emissions and all that. I mean, it just takes away one of the biggest headaches, right?
And for sure,
they're much cheaper.
Yeah, what is that? $16 for 5 years?
Well, he qualifies for an older.
Because that's older.
It's 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're $16 for 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not a bad deal.
That's not bad. I could get behind that. Should we take a quick break and come back? I think we've probably been recording for a little bit.
Okay. At least 20 minutes.
Sounds good. We'll be back. Okay, we're back with the steering committee. We're recording, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Didn't mention, we're drinking some new Brews beers today. Never have had the Pilsner, the right-hand man. It's delicious.
This is apparently brand new, and they said it is selling like crazy.
It's a man's Pilsner.
So, go check it out. Brews beer, and it's their just right-hand man Pilsner.
Thank you for your continued support, Brews beers. And we've got some sunglasses.
I do, yeah. Another thing we're a fan of here is obviously Gooder sunglasses. So we like to do a segment where we pair. They have a lot of different colors and combinations, and they're designed for running. They don't slip off your face, which is a big deal for me. I run a lot and I sweat a lot, and so these are the best glasses I've ever had for that. So you've been enjoying yours.
I have.
Right?
They look great. Yeah.
Can I just say, as the one listener who can speak to this, Doug runs by my house probably every single day. We have three listeners out there.
He's running from those kids.
He's generally running with his kids.
I have my twins with me.
Oh, okay. Good man. I'm kidding.
If there was ever a person to speak to comfort while running, Doug is the authority on this.
Thank you. In fact, the last time I saw you before today was when I was running by you. You were moving the Jeep around. So without further ado, I have picked out these for you. I went with what's called the Silverback Squat Mobility. So go ahead and take a look at those.
All right.
And sweet. I think they match your Jeep pretty well. They don't necessarily look like it in the picture, but when you take them out, they've got a they've got a gray frame and a green lens, which is what I like about them.
And
this is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite Gooder pairs.
You have to explain that name to me. I don't understand the model.
Well, so one of the so Gooder has a lot of fun with the names. Apparently, they have committees that sit around.
I think that looks good on you. Big shout out to Gooder.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So apparently the entire company sits around and they just throw out funny and sort of irreverent names, basically. So I don't know exactly what this comes from, but. They have some pretty funny names out there. So
I'm a huge fan already. Thank you, Gooder. Thank you, Doug. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank
you. So those are bespoke sunglasses for your Jeep.
You have found my lane.
You just tossed the Ray-Bans aside, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even know. Yeah, forget about those. So now, Doyle, we haven't talked about your truck yet, but we are going to get into that because I think it's really interesting. I couldn't find an exact match, although I think. These are the two. I'll give you a choice on the two. These are kind of my go-to, and these are also my other favorite pair of sunglasses. They're called Going to Valhalla, Witness, with an exclamation point. So
Witness.
That's a it's a reference. It's a reference to the Mad Max movie. Thunder Road. So those are all gray. They're kind of grayed out, and they're silver, and that's kind of a default. But I took a chance and I got you this pair as well.
So you have your choice. I like those. Those are
my favorites. The two I gave you happen to be my two favorites.
Well, I have to check.
I love these, but I have to check.
Check those out. See which one you think tickles your fancy. These ones are called Sunbathing with Wizards, I think, and they have a more
really,
of a yellow.
They're really good. They explore the space with these names.
They do. They're more of a yellow lens.
Those are nice too,
but there wasn't quite anything. We'll get to the color combination on your car.
I'm back on these.
Yeah, I think the silver ones.
This is a little much for me.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, then, I'm glad I gave you a choice.
They're really
there,
distinctive.
So.
The sunbathing with wizards is a bridge too far for Doyle.
it's okay.
Do you know what that means?
I do. I happen to be probably like one of the youngest, biggest fans of that movie. I think.
What movie?
The movie that's from.
What's the movie?
I'll take that back. It's from Operation Market Garden in World War II, and there was a movie called A Bridge Too Far.
I thought
Is that Bridge what you were thinking?
River Kwai or
oh,
something.
Oh, that's an old one.
Oh, yeah, they're both
those sunglasses made out of wood.
They're about the same age. Okay. This is yeah, this is not out of reach for us to go on a complete tangent here. But there's
a
fantastic World War II movie called A Bridge Too Far.
Yeah.
It's about Operation Market Garden, which was a giant, it was the largest airborne operation, I think still even to the day. It was bigger than Normandy.
No kidding.
Huge, two U.S. paratroop divisions, a British one, a British armored column, and they were basically going to, there was a plan to end the war early, and they were going to use the parachute divisions to drop in on all these bridges, capture the bridges, and the armored segment would go up and take the road that they were on and collect them all, and they would have a bit of conquered Berlin, like, quickly. I'm glossing over some details, but...
I'm sure there are a few things that happened in the...
It was a large operation, but unfortunately, the furthest... The group that went the furthest in, which is, I think, the British 1st Division, British paratroopers, kind of got cut off. They went... The armored column couldn't get to them quickly enough, so they got surrounded, and they initially got pretty much annihilated.
Maybe the sun was in their eyes, Doug.
Maybe. They didn't have gooder sunglasses, for sure. Yeah. So, anyways, and they said, like, the operation was, like, 80% successful, but we went a bridge too far. If they hadn't tried to get that last bridge,
so is that literally where the phrase comes from?
I believe
so.
Yeah.
There's also a really, not to go too much of a tangent here, but there's also a really killer computer game back in the 90s called A Bridge Too Far, which was a heavy obsession of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Peaked with Oregon Trail myself.
So what was the game?
Was it a war game?
It was a war game where you kind of built the strategy around it, and you could control the troops, and how it all went in. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Oh. And Doug Gooder website, GOODR.com.
That's correct, yeah.
And we didn't mention Bruce Beers. Bruzebeers.com, BRUZBEERS.com.
That's right.
After I can say both of your sponsors are making this afternoon, like, directly more fun. So
works,
like,
for big, me.
Well, awesome.
I really
awesome.
Appreciate both of
them. Of course, yeah. No,
we're very fortunate.
We're very fortunate. So, visit both those sites and visit Bruz's actual physical locations. Bruz Off of Facts. I've been calling it Bruz on Facts. It's Bruz Off of Facts. Which is our tap room over there at
Is in Colfax, which is a big Colfax east-west street here in Denver.
Exactly. It's a great location.
Longest continuous street, is that not correct?
At one point that was at least true. Yeah. No, I've heard that. That's true. Yeah.
They call it like the most evil street in America or something. Is that what it was?
Actually the only Colorado native here amongst us.
Have you heard that term? I had some two guys working for me when I was doing construction years and years ago, moved here from Buffalo, New York, and they decided that they were going to go to every bar on Colfax.
Are they still doing it?
They were still doing it the last time after I fired both of them, and they were gone. They were still doing it, and they were about halfway.
If ever there was a plug for Bruce Beer, I think that was it. Yeah. They're still out there, guys. Yeah. Check out Bruce Beer.
Well, new ones keep popping up. They can't finish. They can't get through the old ones.
That's awesome. Well, we should finish up with your car. I wanted to ask you, now you've done this one Jeep, would you do another? I mean, would this be something you would ever do for a living? I mean, because you seem really good at it. I mean, is this...
It was an incredibly fun pet project. I would say if I didn't have the level of interest and support from Doyle, I don't think I could ever do it myself. Yeah. Number one, because there were so many things that Doyle knew, having gone through this process so many times. Like, I think I would have fallen into a number of money pits, number one, and also I would have made some bad decisions. And so I don't think I would ever do it on my own.
Okay.
The other thing is, it was a lot of time. It was a long process. Some of that was due to COVID because things were delayed and factory lines were sort of shut down for a period of time and everyone's redoing their car. So I was sort of the back of the line when taking it to some folks to help me with a few things. So, maybe there's a universe in which I'd do it again. And it's incredibly fun. It's incredibly rewarding. What I love more than anything is having something that's one of a kind. That's something that I really place a lot of value on, is knowing that mine is the only one that looks like this. And so
you'll have it forever, right?
I'll have it forever. Yeah. I don't think I would ever sell it, unless something really crazy happened. and my son, who is turning 4 in April, already talks about it like it's his Jeep.
Yeah.
So
I love it. It
became this thing where, like, my wife, who before I don't think really cared too much about it, loves it and talks about it. And, it's this fun thing. And, we get to share it.
So is that the secret? So I have an 8-year-old daughter and a wife. And I can't, for the life of me, get either one of them into cars. You think it's not just buying it, it's building, it's having everyone sort of involved in the process? I mean, what's the secret?
I can't tell you how many things there were details that I brought her into, and she, and I asked her advice on some things. You know, I asked more than anyone. I asked Doyle for advice on stuff, but probably second to Doyle was my wife saying, "Well, what do you think about this?"
I asked my wife.
Yeah,
So there was a committee. There was an important committee that was involved. So everyone feels like it's part
steering committee.
They're all part of it.
It's very meta. But yeah, what I would say is, there were so many things that were details that I shared with her, or that I was obsessive about. The visors being one, or the armrest fire safe, or gun safe that's fireproof, or whatever it was, and getting that sort of level of buy-in, and having this long process where it wasn't just go to a dealership and buy it, or someone like Jonathan Ward. It was like, okay, like, here are choices we're going to make, here are things we're going to do, and you get to see the start to the finish. And I think that's incredibly cool, is to, for over a year, see just these little sort of micro moments. So we go over to Elaine and Doyle's house pretty much every Sunday. And every Sunday we kind of check in and see how things are going and what's happening, and, you know, talk about details and buy parts and do stuff. So there was this sort of, to your point, a committee of people who were sort of participating and involved with it. And the fact that Elaine made the floor mats and stuff like that, like, it just became sort of this family experience.
And do you daily it at all, or is it really more of a weekend car?
It's my daily driver.
Is it? Okay.
I've since I got it street legal, you know, I've driven my old car I had previous to it once. Okay. And I plan to sell it.
Can I ask what that car is?
It's just a Nissan SUV.
Okay, cool.
And you know,
a normal daily
driver in a family car, but I would say that
it won't be missed. It won't be.
Very utilitarian for me. I kind of don't care. I'm sort of indifferent to it.
Yeah.
But my whole goal with this is I want to sell that car. I don't want to have a weekend car. I want to have an everyday car. And the thing is, I don't, especially with COVID, like, I don't drive to work.
Right.
I don't put a ton of miles on something. So I could have fun with something that I didn't need to put a massive amount of wear and tear on. You know, I barely put any miles in my previous car.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, great, we can have some fun with it. We can make some choices. We can do things that are going to be cool. And I don't have to worry about commuting, you know, 6 to 10 miles each way or something like that.
And I bet you take it off road too, right? I mean, it's not just...
Now that everything is fixed up, I mean, it's like very new. I've only had it for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So I'm very much looking forward to an opportunity to get
the license plates.
Well, and those are important. Right?
Yeah.
So we should probably go to Doyle now, the Zen master, rolled up in his own neat vehicle today. So it's a 57 Studebaker pickup truck, but there's probably
Transtar Deluxe.
Yeah. Ooh. So is this the top of the line?
I like the way they used to name cars.
So
good. If you got one was two-tone and it had the nicer seat in it, I think you got a piece of chrome that went down the door. It's about 3 feet long, and then there's another piece about 6 inches long. That's the deluxe.
Okay.
You know,
that's the deluxe.
Not so different from, you know, what they're doing these days, right? I mean, that's...
It's all the same scams they've been running for forever, but it's a gorgeous truck.
It really is. Yeah. And is it a long bed, or is that just...
The bed inside is 8'2" by 4'1". With no wheel humps.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Everything's on the outside.
Yeah. And what's the story with this? Where did you find it?
I was thinking of looking for an old truck. 2 days later.
There's a theme.
I'm going to hang out with these guys next time I'm looking.
2 days later, I mentioned it to my buddy.
Don't do that until you're ready to buy them.
Right.
These guys find these things right away.
And he said, I found something we have to go look at. Pueblo, 100 miles away.
Yeah.
And
home of the government pamphlets.
And this old guy had it, and he wanted quite a bit for it, but I got him down quite a bit because he liked me.
Okay.
He was worried that somebody was going to maybe mess it up.
Sure.
It wasn't going to be right. He even wanted to tell me what color to paint it.
Oh, geez.
I didn't listen to that. And he was very, very, he was getting quite ill. He put 4 folding chairs around it, and when he would talk to me about it, he would sit in one chair and walk to the next.
I would say that experience was the same with the Jeep. When Doyle and I went out to buy it, he said, I want to make sure it wasn't some punk kid who was going to ruin it. He cared about it being done the right way. So
when people care about their vehicles, they don't want to just go away. And that's like, several years, but it's been 10 years ago, I had a 1951 Lincoln Cosmopolitan.
Oh, really?
Looks like a 50 Merc.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But
nice.
The guy who sold it to me was the same thing. He thought I would take it and chop it. But I never did. I never did chop it. I kept it solid. But the people care about their cars even when they don't own them anymore.
I can appreciate
that. I understand that. I have a hard time letting go of cars, so I can understand that. What kind of shape was it in when you picked it up?
This old guy, he was working on this pickup for 20 years, and he was a welder, and he had the body almost finished. He told me he traded $7,000 worth of welding to a body shop for building stuff for them, and they redid the body on it.
Wow.
And it was in primer, and it looked pretty straight until I tried blocking it out, and it was pretty wobbly.
There's
a lot of wobbles, but there's no rust on it.
What
does blocking it out mean?
So I finished it out and made it real slick, and then had a guy in Aurora, Colorado paint it for me.
Okay. You're talking about the body, blocking out the body?
Yeah, block the body out to make it actually flat.
Yeah. And it's a really cool
like
truck.
Actually taking like wood or whatever and just hammering it to get it straight.
You shoot a thick primer on it, and then you wet sand with big blocks to keep everything flat, and you block it all down.
Oh, I see.
And every time you primer it, then you dust coat it with black paint. Just put a dust on it, then you sand, and as the black paint goes away, you can see ins and outs.
I see.
And you do that 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
The entire vehicle 3 or 4 times. Right. It takes forever.
So there's situations where it's like, visually it would have looked straight, but then you do this process, and you say, oh, no, there's a bunch
of
waves.
It'd be like
in it.
If a primered fender looks straight and you take and pour water on it, and it goes...
Oh,
I see.
Okay. Were you looking specifically for a Studebaker?
I was looking for an old pickup, and I thought it would be an old Chevy or Ford.
Yeah.
I would have preferred a Ford, but I was built just to keep. I'm not even building to sell. Yeah. Yeah. But a Chevy stuff is so much cheaper. You can get the parts so cheap.
Well, that's what I was going to get into, because a Studebaker even then was a pretty unusual truck, right?
But this Studebaker is a Chevy. It's got a Chevy motor.
Oh, right. Any Chevy motor.
It has an LT1
5.7, which is cool.
It jumps.
Yeah.
It goes down the road.
I bet it does. Yeah.
I think it's pushing 400 horse.
Wow. I believe it. Wow. I believe it.
Yeah. And it has the front clip underneath, which is the whole front axle and the steering and the springs and everything, is a Chevy C10 pickup.
Okay.
Because the Studebaker stuff, you couldn't really beef it up and make it strong enough to hold that extra weight of that motor.
Yeah.
And you wanted it certainly didn't have disc brakes.
Yeah.
So you would get add disc brakes, but why not buy a front end that has all that and put it all together at one time?
Well, it sounds like it was really the gentleman's truck even of the day, right? I mean, it was...
They were just simple little trucks.
Yeah.
Was all they were, just simple trucks.
Well, it's cool. I mean, it's certainly something... I mean, you see old Fords and Chevys pretty regularly. You don't see Studebaker trucks
very often.
Yeah,
you don't see very many of them.
To our audience at home, we got a chance to go out and look at it before we started recording, and... just in the brief time we were out there, Dale already got a thumbs up as someone. He started up as someone was driving by.
Five seconds starting it up. Someone started it up. Neighbor's guy when I drove in and parked.
So that's two.
That's awesome. And the crowning achievement of the truck, or the sort of the piece de resistance, is the bourbon barrel that you have.
Yes.
Is a tool chest in the
bed. A friend of mine that has a distillery gave me a barrel and I split it in half and put a million screws in every band because it would fall apart. And it's very heavy.
Should we give a shout out to this distillery?
It's Bear Creek Distillery in South Denver.
South Denver, okay.
On Jewel and Tacoma.
No kidding, okay.
The best rye whiskey you'll ever drink.
Well, we need to reach out to them for a sponsorship.
We keep it all in the family. So
that's right.
Jeff, who's the head distiller there, is sort of, I don't exactly, I mean, we're Jill is my wife's cousin, third cousin twice from whatever it is.
Yeah. My brother-in-law's son-in-law's thing like that.
Okay.
But they make fantastic whiskey.
Amazing whiskey.
Right. We'll definitely check.
We're going to try that. Yeah, we're going to check that out.
Check that out.
Yeah, so he gave me
we do extensive research here on the street. We got to make sure we check all these things.
He drained
things
the
out,
barrel and gave it to me in like 2 or 3 days later. And as I cut it with my circular saw and the wood got hot, my garage smelled like whiskey.
That was amazing.
That's a
the whiskey
smell.
Goes almost 2/3 of the way through the oak.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost 2/3 of the way. It was wonderful.
Very cool.
And I think on top of all that, cool, you have one more nice accessory for the Studebaker pickup truck. We'll talk a little bit about that, too.
Which one's that?
The one that goes behind it occasionally.
I
built a teardrop trailer several years ago. It's got a queen size bed in it, and you open the back, and it's got a full kitchen in the back, and it was covered with a final RV siding mm-hmm. stuff. But when the Studebaker came back from the paint shop with the two-tone paint on it and the bump line that goes through it, I had to put a thin steel coating on my trailer so I could paint the same thing.
Yeah. But with 400 horsepower, that's no problem, yeah, right?
And they're both 50s.
Yeah,
when you go down the street, they're
both
50s. It
looks right.
Oh, it looks great.
It looks like one unit. Like,
yeah, no, it looks incredible. Like it came that way. It was like something you could have ordered from the Studebaker catalog. So,
there's a big car show in between Colorado Springs and Pueblo at Pikes Peak International Raceway every year.
Mm-hmm.
And their big show is, I don't know, 2,000 cars or something. But they have a truck fest, and there were 275 trucks there. And you go to the infield of the track, and you stay for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And just party. So I take the trailer down, and I won best 50s.
Nice.
Pickup, my first show that I ever went to.
That's a small achievement, I bet, right? Yeah, that's cool.
Did I come with a trophy of some sort?
A little plaque thing.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Yeah.
Something to hang up in the
garage. There's cash for the best in show, but...
Oh, okay. Well, I'd almost rather just have the plaque, you know? I mean, the money goes away eventually very quickly with our hobby, but the plaque stays forever.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I have to ask, what's your daily driver?
I've been driving a little Ford Ranger pickup for years and years.
Yeah.
And I just got rid of it. It was, the thing was finally dying. The transmission was going out.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted a new car, so my wife got a new car, so I got her old Toyota.
Well,
but I do have a Volkswagen.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, right, the Beetle.
That's right.
We saw the pictures.
Let's take a quick
heavily
break,
modified.
Let's get into Doyle's very interesting car history.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap it up. Yeah, we'll be back.
So we're jumping back in, and as we alluded to, we were about to get into Doyle's interesting car history here. I think we teased it a little bit, but let's. There's two cars in particular.
Well, let me intro this. But some people, they just, you know, they're into one mark, right? They're into one brand, right? You couldn't have a more diverse group of cars, right, in your collection. So
things that find me.
Apparently as soon as you look for something, you find it right away. So it's like, I have to get it.
Driving down the street.
Yeah.
Well, I was driving down Dartmouth in South Denver and saw this old Austin FX4 London taxi cab.
Yeah. Of all things in Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, right?
And it was rough.
Okay.
I talked to the guys that had it, and their father had just recently died, had 40 or 50 cars.
No kidding.
And real estate everywhere.
Oh, wow.
They didn't know about.
Huh. I mean,
he owned two square blocks in Sturgis, South Dakota.
Oh.
That he rented out 3 weeks a year, and the rest of the time it sat.
But kidding.
This guy had
Probably paid all his costs, too, if it was the right 3 weeks.
I bought this old cab. It had sat in a field for 20 years or something. Huh. A tree grew up underneath it.
Oh, wow.
Half of the bottom floor was jammed up where the doors wouldn't. Mm. The doors were 6 inches away from closing.
Oh, wow.
Because they were so messed up. And people that I know that do cars all told me that just shook their head and walked away.
Oh,
and they didn't think that it could be done. But it's done.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Was it your most ambitious project, would you say?
It was just, and it had a four-cylinder diesel in it.
Really?
Which I had to figure out. And I don't know diesels that well.
Yeah.
And the old diesel injection systems that they used back then, you couldn't find anybody that could even work on them.
Yeah.
And I finally found this old guy who was from San Francisco, and for years as a mechanic there, he worked on the double-decker buses that they ran occasionally.
Huh, I didn't know that.
That had the same diesel injection system in it. And he rebuilt my diesel injection system. And
he was a guy from England?
He was in San Francisco. He worked on their buses.
Well, they still run those old streetcars. It doesn't surprise me, I guess, that
they
would run.
They had double-decker buses
run
around, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, were they like London style?
Yeah, the London
cab. No kidding.
The double decker
full
buses.
London with the same diesel engines and the same pumps in them.
They
were the key to the whole diesel motor.
Okay.
In this cab,
the old diesel technology is weird.
Right, because it wouldn't be carbureted.
No.
Yeah, that's
The diesel pump looked like a little miniature motor you would play with that had four cylinders in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And the cylinders
like those
would go
see-through
up and
like
down,
plastic
like
models.
Like a little engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I assume there's a glow plug and you've got to wait for it. Yeah, and all that.
Just finding glow plugs for it is virtually impossible.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
But working on old English electric systems is easy. isn't that what they always say?
Well, like, you're complicating it with being a diesel. It's right-hand drive.
So I finally get the thing to run fairly well.
Yeah.
It's gutless. I just won't go down the road. It won't do over 40, 45. Really? And that's the max you could get out of this thing because it was built to drive around London.
Yeah.
So I pulled the diesel out and put a little Ford motor in.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
So you still have this?
No. It is in Vermont now. Wedding taxi.
No kidding.
I used it as a wedding taxi for a short bit here in Denver.
Yeah.
But the insurance is astronomical. If you try to get passenger insurance on a vehicle that's more than 15 years old, it's
tough.
Couldn't do it.
I a couple times over the years I've seen like old Rolls Royces broken down with like a wedding party in the back. Man, why would you want to do that? Put yourself through that risk or whatever. Yeah. But did you drive? Did you chauffeur then?
Yeah, I did three weddings.
Okay, any good stories out of that?
No,
okay,
not really.
All right. Yeah.
But I didn't really think I did. I didn't really like doing it much.
I'll tell you about a wedding limousine breaking down story because I have one.
From your own wedding?
Yes. So it didn't take an old car. We were driving around in a modern, Lincoln, conversion. I got married in, it was in Branson, Missouri was where the actual ceremony was. So we were in the Ozarks, basically, where my wife's from.
Yakov Smirnoff was your wedding entertainment, right?
We were broke down right by his theater, actually. So, so we were leaving the resort to go to the wedding, and we forgot somebody. We didn't forget him. We thought he was getting
Kathleen?
A ride. No one important. But we thought he was getting a ride with someone else, but then he called us and realized he needed to ride with us, so we had to turn around. So this resort is on these steep hills, and I think that's what killed it. Going up and down these hills, when they expand those cars, I don't think they necessarily beef it up as much as they should.
Right.
And doing that extra trip back is what did it. And so I would think this is a funny image. We're driving down the highway. First of all, the air conditioning cuts out. We're all in our tuxedos.
In the Ozarks in the summer.
Memorial Day weekend in the Ozarks. It is wicked hot outside. So I'm already sweating as it is, and now it's hot in the car, so I'm really sweating.
Oh, jeez.
And then to anyone driving by, it must have looked like I was just having second doubts. Because it was like all of us are outside the car. I'm sitting on the I'm sitting on the guardrail, with my head in my hands.
Please don't make that picture.
Oh, my God.
There's a bunch of guys around talking to me, laughing and joking, and they're like, oh, he must have chickened out before he got to, he said, pull it over. I don't want to do this. And
please tell me you have a picture of that.
I don't. Oh, and the thing is, I know I could tell a bunch of wedding guests were driving by us.
No one pulled over?
Why is no one stopping? Like at least six cars went by.
They didn't
want to
go there. They didn't
want
to deal with
that. Well, they may have thought I needed a moment there. But So that was
that's
a modern
amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. You're hauling these people around.
The guy that bought this cab from me, it took it to Vermont, has a wedding venue there that is his own big property.
Okay.
And he has old limos, new limos. Mm. Now he has this taxi.
Okay.
And he has an army tank.
Oh, wow.
Army people come and the bride and groom will come up.
Oh, that's amazing.
The top and get married.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
That probably doesn't have air conditioning.
It just probably doesn't. But that would be my choice. I think I might get shot down, but that would have been my choice.
So to speak.
If I had a choice at all.
So. And you showed us at least one other interesting car.
You have a Volkswagen?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was in Puerto Vallarta. And I saw a Volkswagen Bug that somebody had taken that looked like an axe or a chainsaw and an arc welder, and it cut it 2 feet or so out of the middle, slammed it together and welded it all up, but no doors would open or anything like that. And they were driving it around with a little short wheelbase.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I could do a better job than that. So I did it with one, and it was just something to do.
So here,
and you still have that one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So is it like a golf cart? Can you use it as a golf cart if you play golf? Or
the door is still 2 feet almost, and a little behind it, and it's just a little fun car.
Engine's still in the back, and
you move the seat, moves back, and the back seat goes out.
Okay.
So, the two seats move back. Yeah.
And how do you get that into the States? Because I was going to say, bring a trailer. If there's a car in Canada, it scares me away.
Oh no, I didn't bring it in.
No, he got the idea.
I see.
Got the
okay,
idea
okay.
I just
okay.
got my own.
Because that would have really been amazing.
I built a table, and on cinder blocks with 4x8s, I think it was, jacked the car up. Took a while to get it up because I'm just a guy got a garage. Yeah. It was like an operating table, and I hacked it 2 feet out of the middle of it, took the doors off, cut all the roof off, lowered the sides of the doors, and put a new frame inside it. And I had help one day. I had a friend come over to help me pick up part of it to move it to the other part so I could weld it back together.
Okay.
And then I welded it back together.
And much easier than working in a London taxi cab in terms of...
It was much easier. It was much easier.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care. I didn't care about this bug. If it was going to work, it was going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the thing was trash anyway.
Yeah.
It had been smashed. Yeah. It was a bad, bad vehicle.
With the London taxi cab, you were trying to get it back to like...
Yeah, the London taxi cab.
You're trying to restore it to like... Yeah, yeah.
Is that a manual transmission?
In what?
In the taxi?
In the taxi, yes.
Yeah, it is.
Four speed, you shift with your left hand.
Oh, yeah.
Your right-hand drive. I still had the meter.
Yeah.
Shillings and pence.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's I mean, so on top of just... Forget about electrics on a British car in general, but this had all the extra stuff of, like, the taxi light.
Taxi light on top.
Yeah, the meter, yeah. And I don't know what else it might have had, but, like, it had extra stuff.
Had
but
jump seats in the back because of... had 3 or 2.5 feet of leg room.
Yeah.
I'll say Doyle also did a bachelorette party. He took my mom married.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He drove.
Is that good, huh?
I forgot about that. It was just a daytime run.
He took my mom, his wife, my wife, and my sister. And they surprised my mom, flew in, and they surprised my mom, took her out. They went and did tea, and they did a...
That's very cool.
You know, drinks and
drove
cocktails
around
and
downtown Denver a little bit.
Very cool. Okay. Very cool.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
Well, what's next for you two? What's anything on the horizon? You're going to enjoy what you have for a while?
I'm in the middle of a project right now, but it's not mine. It's a friend of mine. It's a old high school buddy, and it's in Granby, Colorado.
Okay.
Fraser, which is 70 miles or whatever away.
Yeah. Can I interrupt real quick? Mm-hmm. I just watched the documentary about the Killdozer.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. He knows those people.
Oh, no kidding.
All of those.
It's not that
he's
big of a...
He's been up there forever.
Wow. Oh, if you're listening, if you haven't checked it, I think it's called Killdozer, right, is the name of the documentary that just came out on Netflix?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But sorry.
He has a 1949 Willys Jeepster.
Oh, wow. Okay. Those are neat.
He's had since 74 or something.
Wow.
And it was a mess.
Yeah.
4 months ago.
Yeah.
And we're about 3 weeks away from new paint. We have new axles and new springs and new transmission. We've got a little Chevy V8 in it.
Nice.
It's going to be a beautiful
Very
vehicle.
Cool.
There's less than 20,000 of those.
Is that right? That's the two-door hardtop, right?
It's two-door ragtop.
Oh, ragtop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're like
the Jeep Commandos they made later.
Right,
only
right.
I think 3 years, 49, 50, 51.
I didn't realize those were so rare.
Yeah, check it out on...
No kidding.
They're very rare.
Yeah, they're...
This one now will have four-wheel drive and a Chevy V8.
Nice.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Because it would have been just rear-wheel drive originally.
Yeah, they're all
right?
rear-wheel, yeah.
Yeah, but now, so this one will be like four-wheel
so
drive.
So it's almost done.
With a little bit more power than probably originally had.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we have a biplane above us or something.
Yeah.
We should wrap this up, but...
I was just going to say, if I were doing another project, I don't think I would, but... Well, not in the short term, I wouldn't, but one car I think Doyle and I have a potential common interest in that I would be happy to delve into. So I have an uncle who was a car designer for many years, and was a sort of big force in our family, and unfortunately, he just passed away about a year ago, and one of my favorite cars, he did the Buick Boattail Riviera.
No kidding!
And it was one of his marquee designs, and so
that's
we ever
iconic.
Found one.
Unbelievable car.
You know, there's one I...
There's one in our neighborhood.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
I see it every
jog
day.
By almost every day.
Perhaps somebody that's listening to this is one.
Someone would like to maybe potentially sell it to a good owner.
We
could have someone that could work on it. Those things are gorgeous.
You could do as my buddy Frank Vosnek in Chicago did, where we had an 88 BMW M5 parked in our neighborhood for years. And we always talked about someday we'll go knock on that guy's door and see if he'll sell it. Well, this guy put a note on the door, and sure enough, the guy called him the next day and he ended up buying it.
I've thought about doing that.
Yeah.
I see him cruising down 7th Avenue all the time right here. He's an older guy, and I've thought about doing it. That's the one thing that I would sort of, after finishing the Jeep and doing all the stuff, I want to take a little break from the next project, but that's one thing where if Doyle was interested in doing it, I'd be more than happy to finance it.
That would be back to original. high dollar rebuild.
That would be special.
I wouldn't want to mess with it because it was my uncle's car. But
when you do that, we're going to have you back on. Right, when you do that,
if you do that, that would be
gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah. This
has been great. We'll do this again for sure. Thank you.
Thanks.